2005, Ted W. Baxter was at the top of his game. He was a successful, globe-trotting businessman. He had a top-shelf resume and a schedule that never stopped. In peak physical condition, he worked out nearly every day. But, with no warning, his life came crashing down. He was just 41 when he suffered a massive ischemic stroke. And we're going to be talking about his life after that and how he recovered from this stroke. And it's nice to have you on the program today, Ted.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show.
Okay. You were jet-setting all over the world and actively working when you had your stroke?
Yeah, I had a great job. I was a global CFO for Citadel Investment Group. I was based in Chicago. And it was one of the things where my living was being fast and fluent, if you know what I mean. Talking to a lot of people during a day, running through airports, calling my boss in Chicago while I was in London, that kind of stuff, leading meetings. It was basically a dream job.
Did you get enough sleep?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay, you have 7 different keys to recovering from a massive stroke, and I'd like to go over those with you if it's all right.
Okay, sure.
The first key is control the risk. What do you think are the risk factors for having an ischemic stroke?
Yeah, this is key because you need to know your risk factors, and you know many of the risk factors can be controlled. So I put things like blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, unhealthy cholesterol levels, lack of physical activity, stress and depression. You know, if you have things like that, you need to make sure that you're going to go to a therapist or you're going to a doctor just to make sure that it's controlled. So that's number one.
Well, okay. So, are those all the risks that you know of?
No. Now, what I would say. Well, the second key I put is learn be fast.
Okay. Can we hold up on that until we talk about the risk completely?
Oh, sure. Okay. No problem.
You didn't mention the use of alcohol as a causative factor in ischemic stroke in young people.
Sorry, I should have mentioned it. I have it on my list. Abnormal heart rhythm, and right after that is alcohol and illegal drug use. Yeah, I mean, if you have that problem, you know, you have that during your life, you should need to check with a doctor and make sure that you're controlled.
Okay, so I understand that you were a casual social drinker.
Yeah, that's right.
And you probably didn't know that even one drink of alcohol will, shortly after you drink it, increase your chance of ischemic stroke by 1.6 times.
Yeah, I guess they would think that.
And I'm doing a program on the benefits and risk of being a drinker, alcohol, on my podcast, and I was overly impressed with the correlation between people who drank even a little bit and stroke. you had known that, would you have become a non-drinker?
Well, probably not, because when I go to my doctors around here, our neurologists here, and mostly the two or three of them said that they think that it's fine if I could have one drink of wine, red wine, every night. So, you know, it's whatever you have to you go with doctors like that, or you know. You don't listen to that, you know. But if you make sure that you're keeping your health properly, you're controlled, you should go with that.
Okay, I don't want to beat a dead horse to death, but for everybody that's listening today, drinking even a little bit is going to give you the chance of what happened to Ted. So go over to my podcast. And you can go directly to it by www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn, you spell Libsyn, LIBSYN.com, and get the story, because it's terribly important for you to know that. Okay, let's go on to your second point of recovering from a stroke, and the point is learn to be fast. Would you tell me what you mean by that?
Yeah, learn be fast means be fast is an acronym. That means B means balance. Is a person suddenly having trouble with balance or coordination? And E, that means eyesight. Is the person experiencing suddenly blurred or double vision, or a sudden loss of vision in one or both eyes? F, face drooping. As the person to smile, is one or both sides of the face drooping? A, that means arm weakness. Ask the person to raise both arms. Does one side drift downward? Is there weakness or numbness on one side? S, speech difficulty. Does the person have slurred or glurred or garbled speech or couldn't speak at all? Can he or she repeat simple phrases? And then T, which to me is so important, is T means time. Call 911 for immediate medical attention if you notice one or more of these signs.
Okay, Ted, so if you notice one or more of these signs, tell me what you can do with respect to taking aspirin.
What
anybody could do if they noticed a stroke sign. Is it good to take aspirin immediately?
Well, no. You'd call 911 and you'd ask them because you're making the aspirin is, I mean, I take it because I'd keep my risk factors controlled, because I have a massive ischemic stroke, obviously, but now the doctors are saying that from what I heard this the other day, somebody if you don't have a stroke, and you don't really need to have an aspirin. So, but that's up for discussion.
Okay, so I've been a medical doctor for a long, long time, and I always advise my patient that the first thing that they should do is pop an aspirin. It's not going to hurt you, and it may help with some of your stroke problems. Let's go on to number three, learn all you can beforehand. What did you mean by that?
Right, learn all you can beforehand. That means educate yourself all about strokes and terminology ahead of time. For instance, there are ischemic as well as hemorrhagic strokes, aphasia, and there are TBIs. So, you know, you can know that there are three different types of strokes. So just to make sure that you know what to educate yourself.
Okay. And your fourth point is keep learning and asking questions after you've had the stroke.
Right. Yes, because let's say if you can't talk, what you can signify to your loved one or a caregiver or whatever to just ask more questions. Make sure that that the doctors and neurologists, they know what the medical situation was. Your daily living concerns and your lifestyle was.
Okay. I remember in the past a French publisher had a massive stroke and he developed what's called locked-in syndrome. And he knew everything that was going on around him and what people were saying and everything, but he couldn't communicate
right. Because
he was locked in. And he had a administrative assistant, a secretary, if you will, and she found out that he could blink one eye. And just by blinking an eye and getting together symbols and letters and everything, they wrote a book based on that, and it became a movie and very popular and everything like that. So I'm thinking that no matter how bad your stroke is, there's always a possibility that you can communicate with other people, and if you can, that's really good. Your fifth point is stay mentally and physically healthy, okay? What about that?
That's right. So after a stroke, it's important to keep engaging your brain. So this really goes through, making sure you're reading books. If you love history books, read how-tos as well. Read the newspaper or read fiction. When I had my stroke, I really couldn't read text. So what I did, probably the first week or the second week after I had my stroke, I looked at magazines that I focused on visual things, which starts to get my brain engaged.
Yes. Your sixth point is be an advocate for others.
Right. It's vital for us to act as messengers, speak up and spread awareness. The need and desire to know more about strokes and related conditions truly very remarkable, but I take it upon yourself to explain to people what stroke is and how it can hit not just older but younger people too.
Yeah, there's some statistics that indicate that stroke is on the rise for those under 50 years of age, and that almost a quarter of strokes occur under 65.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's very surprising for people who have not been in this industry. But I'm sorry, it's bad to us.
Your seventh point is stay positive and never give up.
Yeah, I mean, maintain a positive mindset and have the faith that you're able to recover. It depends if you're a massive stroke, if you have it, you wouldn't think that you could ever recover. But as long as the first two concepts you need to keep in mind, if you have a positive mindset and have faith, you're gonna be able to recover somewhat, and then it's coming to you as a patient. You know, how much could you can you to restructure your life and how stay determined you could be. So you'll definitely can do it, but it's a matter of you as a patient.
Winston Churchill, a famous British politician, was giving a commencement speech once, and it was the shortest commencement speech that I've ever heard of. And he got up and he said, "Never, never, 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 never give up." And that's what you're saying, isn't it? Never give up. Just keep.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you could see, you could hear the termination, the duration of being okay. Well, you can try it after 2 years, and after that, you're gonna plateau. That's sorry, but that doesn't really work with me. I mean, I still recover when I'm talking to you right now, or you know, I'm reading my book later today. It's going to help me to recover.
How much do you think you're recovered? 90-something%?
Yeah, 95%. I would say 90%.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very hard on myself, but I would say that's right.
Well, that's pretty great considering that stroke you had was massive. You had aphasia, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything immediately afterwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I couldn't believe it. I don't understand why I did, you know, somebody just, I always go to saying that it's God, he want me to have this tragic situation. But at the end of the day, it is a good thing I had it, because now it gave me the ability to do things I didn't even know I could do it, and I can work with people, with other people that need somebody to help them along their lives to get better. So I'm not really happy. I'm doing that ability now.
Well, my philosophy is that God has a purpose for each of us on the planet. And if we can find out what that purpose is and then work on trying to accomplish it, we'll have a much better life. And it seems to me that is your thing, because back before you had your stroke, I'm not so sure that you had a purpose as far as helping other people, and now you do.
That's right.
And so...
That's absolutely right, yep.
And so God allows bad things to happen in our lives if the result is going to be good, which it was in your case.
Yeah, you know, it makes it clear what my purpose is right now. As compared to what I had it pre-stroke, which was totally different. And you're absolutely right. Pre-stroke, I probably didn't know what my purpose was. Now having this tragedy, it gave me a time just to think about what am I going to do right now, and could I restructure my life, or do I just give up, or do I it gave me a space where right now, all right, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to help people. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to see if I can formulate all those things that happen, the hospital and all that kind of stuff. And if I can write that stuff down, then I'm going to really I'm going to help people I can help them to formulate what I did.
Your life post-stroke was quite intensive on doing the things that you thought would help you get back to the way you were before, right?
Yeah, for a while. I mean, it was probably like probably 7 or 8, 9, 10 months after I had my stroke, I was really set. I was going to go back to my work. And it didn't work. I mean, I just couldn't. I still can't do the like calculations, as quick as I could at the point when I was gold controller for Citadel. But you lose that on those abilities on that side, and you gain on the other things. For example, as we just said, I can help people. I always tell them what I did, and from listening to what happened to their lives, I can make some calls about look, that happens. Yeah, you should do that. You shouldn't do that. So it's that kind of stuff.
Well, Ted, for the people who are listening to you today, and they're interested in learning more about what happened to you, and how did they get a copy of your book?
Yeah, they can just go through, get on the internet and just press www.tedwbaxter.com, and then they'll see that's my website, and the first thing it says, if you want to purchase the book, and this is what you do it. If they don't want to do that way, they can just go with Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Both of them has my book.
Right. Okay. So you gave us your website address, and the title of the book is Relentless. Subtitle, How a Massive Stroke Changed My Life for the Better. So if y'all want to pick up a copy, Ted just told you how to do it. Ted, there's a lot of people that are having strokes these days, and do you have any pearls, little pieces of advice, or do you just want them to go to your book?
No, I could say, the thing I have to give advice for caregivers, the most important thing a caregiver can bring is patience. As stressful as it was for me to find or hunt for, it was crucial part of my recovery to let my brain do the work instead of loved ones filling in the blank Germany, you know what I mean?
Right, right. So you're suggesting that you get a caregiver that has a lot of patience, that can work with you and not get too frustrated, because it's going to take a lot of time to come back. Well, that's really good advice, Ted, and we're toward the end of our time. Is there anything else that you want to tell the people? Because this message will be going all over the world starting this afternoon.
Well, the final word, I would say, I'll pick my from my book that I wrote. One of the quotes. It's in the middle of the epilogue. It said, "The trick is to get through the hardest times in life is to remember that there are many roadblocks along the way. But often, when you conquer those obstacles, there is greater happiness awaiting for you on the other side."
Well, that's really great advice, Ted. Thank you for that. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show today, and I hope that the people that are listening will think about it, think about their risk factors, what they can do to cut down the risk of having a stroke, and also take some of your advice from what you did after the stroke.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.